Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Steve Kerr, Warriors head coach, is along with us. Steve, we thought we were going to be talking to you on Friday. We're very happy to talk to you today. Obviously, it's been a weird 24 hours. That was such an unexpected defeat, and you, I'm sure, have watched the tape. What did you see on that tape, Steve? And welcome. Thank you for joining us. What did you see that bothered you the most?
I think we just sort of disconnected, you know, mid-third quarter when we got up 31. We just, to that point, we had played brilliant defense all throughout game one and then, you know, for 2.5 quarters of game two. And then it looked like all of a sudden it was like a preseason game in Bakersfield. Like, what happened? We just stopped playing defense, and you can't do that, you know, in a playoff game against a good team like the Clippers. And so all of a sudden it becomes a shootout, and we had foul trouble. You know, our rotations get altered, and the momentum just swung wildly the other way.
Losing focus has been a theme this year for the Warriors, and it's understandable. It really is in the regular season. This is the postseason, and it's unforgivable then when you lose focus, when all 48 minutes should be played like the score wasn't even being kept. You know, that's what fans want. That's what you and your coaching staff want. Is there anything you and your staff can do to inject moments of urgency, like just have a whistle, and if you sense them losing focus, you start blowing the whistle like it's a shark warning at a beach or something?
Well, that's what timeouts are for. So, we tried to, inject some just alertness in the timeouts. Like, hey, there's a long way to go, and but as I said, in an NBA game, once you lose momentum, it's tough to get it back. And the Clippers played great. You know, Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams had it going, and we had a couple shots late that would have sealed it. We couldn't make, but. I didn't particularly like the play I drew up out of the timeout late in the game. And so, I didn't think any of us were really on our games, that second half. And it's disappointing, but, you know, it's 1-1. So there's plenty of basketball left.
Do you have sort of a statute of limitations on how long you can reference this to the players before you get off it and assume that they've got the lessons learned?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you don't want to keep referencing a game, too long, because you got the next one starts, and that becomes the important one. So the statute of limitations probably runs to tomorrow night at 7:30. You know, so we'll have a shoot around tomorrow in the morning, and we may reference the game then. But after that, you just move on to the next one.
Warriors head coach Steve Kerr, and look, we want to move on to the next one too. We want to talk about how you plan on attacking Game 3 and how you hope to see Kevin come out in Game 3. I know you today said, 20, 30 shots, let's see it. He, talking to the media either right before you or after you, said, I'm not about 20, 30 shots. That's not necessarily what I've been doing. He gets ejected in Game 1. He fouls out of Game 2. You know, 9 turnovers to outpace his shots taken. Is that Kevin's choices, or is that Patrick Beverley?
I think Beverley's done a good job on him, but I think Kevin would be the first one to tell you that was not his best game. I mean, he had a lot of turnovers and fouls, and so as far as the field goal attempts, for the entire time that he's been here, Kevin, Clay, Steph all average 17, 18 shots a game. And in a playoff game, you know, you expect your best players to be even more aggressive because they're the ones who are able to get good shots when the defense is not allowing any good ones out of your offense. And so I think we need him to be aggressive, and I think he will be. I know that he likes, you know, being a dual threat as a scorer and a passer offensively, and he's really good at that. But generally he reads the game and whatever's necessary. I mean, you've watched him in the playoffs the last couple of years. When he's at an advantage, he's gone at people. You know, he's been finals MVP twice in a row. So he understands that you know, when he's got to attack and when he's got to assert himself. And so when the time's right, he'll do that.
In what ways will the Clippers try to play differently at home than they did in Oakland, if there are any? I mean, or do we already know what they are and who they are?
Well, I think they've gained some confidence now with that win. I mean, that's the problem when you let somebody off the hook. All of a sudden, you know, there's some belief there. So, you know, they played really well down the stretch and took care of business, and now they're heading home. So I think they'll be more confident, and they'll be more excited. They're now thinking, all right, we can do this. And so our challenge gets tougher. They're going to play better. I think they'll play better at home.
Definitely want to create a little bit more of an optimistic tone here, but we still got one more thing that absolutely sucks to talk about, and it's DeMarcus Cousins. I feel so bad for him, Steve. I'm sure you do too. How's he holding up? How's your team holding him up?
Well, he's crushed, as he should be. I mean, you think about what DeMarcus went through all last year, recovering from that Achilles injury, and he's been waiting to play in the playoffs his whole career, and you know, one game and 5 minutes in, that's it. And it was really sad. I mean, I feel horrible for him. And, you know, the good news is it's not an injury that's going to hurt him long term. He should be fine in a couple of months and should do well in free agency. But this is not, you know, what he signed up for. He wanted a long playoff run, and I wanted to enjoy that with him, and it's just a real shame.
Have you felt the need to talk to him a lot about this, or is he happier when you just leave him be at a time like this?
I think in the immediate aftermath, you know, most players don't want to talk to anybody. You just want to go home and get away, that's what DeMarcus has done. He wasn't in practice today. I didn't expect him to be there. And I've texted him, and we'll connect soon. But right now, I think he's just trying to get away.
If I told you a month and a half ago that Andrew Bogut would be starting a playoff game for you, you would have laughed me off the phone, Steve. I mean, it's unbelievable that we've come full circle right back to Bogut, or full boomerang in this case.
Yeah, it's we wouldn't have been able to envision this, but you know, when we started talking to him and his agent about this possibility, this was exactly what we had in mind. That you know, this gives us depth at the center position, and if something does go wrong, if we get an injury, you know, having Bogut would just be a coup for us, because you just don't find guys like him. You know, in terms of free agency, or you know, just making a trade for another player, and so we got a guy who is a big time player. He's a champion. He fits our system. He knows the league. So we're lucky to have him.
So if he was that important, why didn't you guys get him before?
He didn't want to be here, Ray. He wanted to play for the Sydney Kings.
Well, okay, then. Has Bob Myers failed in impressing upon him that the Sydney Kings are not as important as the Golden State Warriors?
Ray, do we have to do this?
No, we really don't. We really don't. I mean, I don't want to talk about Monday night anymore. Thursday sort of... Okay, let's try this. Is game four the the pivotal game that's going to basically determine this series? Or is it tomorrow night? I mean, because somebody's going to be up 2-1 one way or the other. But it seems to me that game four is where the tale will be told.
You know, I think if you're analyzing everything, you know, that it's a solid take. Let me put it that way. You know, generally speaking, in a 2-1 series, game four is critical. But we've been on both sides of that. You know, we won a series when we were down 3-1. We lost a series when we were up 3-1. So I don't put a whole lot of stock in any of that. I just feel like we just have to go out and play aggressively and solidly. And if we do that, I think we'll be in great shape. And I like our chances against anybody in a 7-game series because over time, I think our talent will show and our will. And I believe in these guys. They've won 3 championships and they've been through everything. They've seen everything. So I like our chances whether we're up 2-1 or down 2-1.
Will there be a little more trust extended to Steph to play with a fourth foul if he finds himself in foul trouble in 3 quarters, game 3?
Well, everything is circumstantial, you know. But if he has 4 fouls with 8 minutes left in the 3rd quarter again, I'm taking him out again. I mean, that's especially if we're up 25. So what we want to do is avoid foul trouble. And Steph's got to do a better job. He knows that his, you know, ill-advised reaching is just killing him because he doesn't need to do that. And he's much more important to us than 2 points for the opposition. So I told him, you know, if you're beat, show your hands, don't reach. Maybe a big block's a shot, and if they score, they score. But we need you out on the floor,
Steve. How hard is it to maintain rhythm in a game where we're stopping like every 30 seconds to shoot free throws? And I'm not asking you to criticize officials here, but just how much does a free throw heavy game affect the tone your team goes out there to set?
I don't think it's that big of a deal. It's part of strategy sometimes in the playoffs, and it's definitely something that the Clippers are trying to do. You know, we shot 45 free throws. So it's not like the refs weren't calling them. They called plenty of them.
Yeah, almost too many.
The reality is they – what's that?
I thought too many. It's the playoffs. Half these things should just be let them play. You know, everyone's allowed to play with a little emotion and anger, and it's the playoffs. Let them play.
Well, that's another view. So if you think of it that way, if you're a coach, and Pat Riley used to do this with the Knicks and Chuck Daly with the Pistons, and you tell your players – you know, just foul every time because, you know, if you're really physical and you know how to kind of get away with stuff, you do that in the playoffs because the refs aren't going to want to call too many fouls because the reality is they could, if they called it like it was a regular season, they would call a foul on almost every play. There's 2 different sets of rules, one in the regular season, one in the postseason. And the league probably wouldn't want to hear me say that, but it's the truth. So you have to adapt and adjust, and that's what we try to do.
Without getting you any closer to being in trouble with the league, is that truer with younger officials? Because one of the things about this group of officials in the first round is that they're younger and they're less experienced. Do you think that as a result, that every series seems to have more fouls called this time than last year or the year before? Are you sensing that might be an issue?
To be honest, I haven't paid any attention to the fouls in any other games. Things differ from one game to the next. So I don't really, like I said, I don't worry about it. We just go and play, and we try to do what we do, and then you just see what happens.
You guys in L.A. right now, or are you taking off tomorrow?
Yeah, we're here in L.A. We got here a couple hours ago.
So presumably you have something scheduled for Friday night, which is why you're talking to us now.
Would you like to go down the list of my schedule for the next few nights?
No, I was just trying to figure out why, you know, you would rather kill half an hour on a Wednesday night than a Friday night.
Raymond told me it would be easier for you guys to do it tonight than Friday, and I am always trying to do what's easiest for you because I'm selfless.
Let me just say, I felt...
Is that the least honest thing you've said this year?
Yes. Absolutely. The Raymond part was true. And it's Wednesday, and I'm just here, so I told Raymond, let's do it.
The phone has never sounded better.
Friday.
The phone's never sounded better, Steve. I got to tell you that.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. I think the phrase, let's get this stupidity over with now,
all right,
came up at some point.
We'll do it quickly here. Did you get to talk to your best friend, Tiger Woods, after the Masters?
Unfortunately, we haven't spoken, but man, was that amazing. It was so fun to watch.
It really, really was. There was a fun article that I saw online today about how Michael Jordan didn't have many miscalculations in his career. But the article was about the Michael Jordan cologne. Steve, how did the Michael Jordan cologne go over in the Bulls locker room?
I'm not even aware that that was a thing.
It was a thing. You don't have your own bottle right now? You're not wearing it tonight?
Maybe.
Can I mail you $20 if you don't tell us?
Sure.
By the way, the best-selling new fragrance of 1996, even though everyone laughed at it, Jordan sold $40 million in cologne in 7 weeks, and then it was pulled quickly.
You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, no, he did very well. And by the way, $40 million in 96, that was a lot of money, Steve.
Kind of a lot now, too.
Yeah. In all of your career, in all that you've done, especially now I think it's safe to say that your profile as a coach has eclipsed other profiles of your playing days. What is the dumbest product endorsement you've ever been asked or pitched?
Honestly, and I'm not trying to be modest, I don't know that anybody's ever asked me to pitch a product.
You're kidding.
I don't think so.
Maybe you're just not sincere enough.
You got to go.
I think somebody asked me to do a car commercial one time, maybe.
I could see you doing like board shorts or like Vans or something.
Yes. Yes.
It's got Kerr written all over it. Seriously. I mean, you should say, do you know who I am? Kevin Durant dropped that today.
I'm Kevin Durant. Y'all know who I am.
I'm Steve Kerr. You know who I am, and I'm here for Vans.
I like it.
Hey, you're.
I would do a Vans. I would absolutely do a Vans endorsement any time.
There you go. Let's set that up. And can I get a finder's fee on that? 5%.
You'll get a pair of Vans.
Yeah, two lefts.
Yeah. Maybe I'd be lucky enough to get autographed. Steve, you are a kind and patient man for dealing with the both of us. I appreciate that today, and I wish you good luck in Game 3, where I think the Golden State Warriors are set to come out with a brass knuckles performance. Do you feel that same way? You guys rebound and circle the wagons like everybody. Like nobody, I mean.
We'll be ready to play.
I like that. Coach, thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks. Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.